Raising Playful Tots, show number 115. Thank you for joining me for another episode of Raising Playful Tots. I'm glad that you could stop by today. My name is Melissa. Welcome to the Play Space. It's here that we focus on play that we want to see and experience in our homes. We cover play-related topics to inspire, teach, challenge, and lead us to have a great time with these kids so we can introduce a new play idea. If you're new to the show, welcome. And hi to the regular playmates. Plenty of room over here as we plan out some play activities for the upcoming month. First question, what play activities do we want to do this month that we've seen or because of the season? Last week's show, I shared an interview with Cara Fleck about audio recommendations. So if you've missed that one, pop on over to the blog where you can listen to that show and find the archive of all the shows at www.raisingplayfultots.com/shows. This week's show is a little different format. We're talking about routines around play. I hope you'll stick around. Thanks. I'll be right back after this short break.
Hello, my name is Angelique Felix from angeliquefelix.com, the magic of play, and you are listening to Melissa on Raising Playful Tots.
Speak to most mums, and most of us are sleep deprived. We're up at many times at night with our children. We may even stay up late getting things done, playing, working, or just because we can. Yet the shrill sound of the alarm wakes us up headlong into a full day. Or maybe it's a baby waking us for a feed in the night. Or a toddler who's wet their bed. Routines are like a home. It's never finished. There's always something you can add, always something different that you can try. But in the most part, it actually works just fine. After the baby routine of cleaning, feeding, changing, feeding again, we come to a point where we want to establish a playful relationship. We've already been playing. We've already been doing some of these things. We want it to be part of our day. But we're tired. We're pulled in lots of different directions. We're headlong into dealing with our kids. Today I'm talking to parents, and we're exploring our routines and playful habits at home. Let's start with our first parent who's just become a mum again. How has your day been so far?
Oh, it's all right. I forgot I had like the ultimate mommy moment because I got my kids to preschool and I was like, oh, where are all the cars? And then I realized that preschool started half an hour earlier.
Oh, sure, that's fine.
The teachers are nice.
What happened? Did they?
Like, talk about mommy brain.
You just forgot the time? Or what happened?
Yeah, well, their school ends at half past the hour, and it starts on the hour. And so I just switched the two, I guess. Special talent of mine, but yeah.
How funny. I'm sure all of us have done something like that recently, so do not worry. This is what I love about our first guest today.
She's able to laugh at herself and laugh at the routines and the things that happen. And I so wish that I was in a place like that when I had young children, because it's so necessary to be able to just give yourself a break. And my guest really shows how effectively you can do that. What a great story. I know that that's happened to me before, which is probably why I gasped so much, because I could not believe that somebody else had done exactly what I had done before. Let's get to know her a little better.
All right. I'm Marianne. I blog at Mama Smiles. I'm a stay-at-home mother of four children. I have a 6.5-year-old daughter, a 4-year-old son, and a 3-year-old daughter, and a nearly 2-month-old baby girl. Before I became a mom, I mostly worked in academia. I have degrees in music and education and medicine with a focus on public health. That's where I come from. I live in Massachusetts, a little bit north of Boston. At the moment, we're transitioning from life with 3 children, where the youngest is 3 and potty trained and, you know, can get out and about easily, to having 4 with a newborn. So we're switching over from 3 children who were all out of the putting things in their mouth stage, out of the, you know, needing lots of snacks and nap stage, into the full-on baby phase, and also adding a 4th child to our family. I think the routines have a way of organizing the day, and they can be really beneficial, because toddlers and preschoolers especially really benefit from knowing what to expect out of their day. And so I find with my kids that they do a lot better if there's a routine. It's not very strict. I mean, it's very flexible, but they kind of know what's going to happen when during the day, and that helps them with transitions. It helps them with family expectations, and it just keeps our household running more smoothly and things are calmer.
Tell me about your current play routines.
All right. So my kids like to, my husband leaves for work by usually 6 in the morning, and my kids like to get up with him around 5:30 in the morning, and I do not like to get up with them around 5:30 in the morning. So we've kind of established they can get up and play as long as they don't do anything. You know, we have toys that are safe for them to use without me around, and then things that they can't do with. And so we've kind of established those rules, and so they have their toys that they play with in the morning, and they are usually pretty good about sticking with those. And they also know that as long as they play nicely, then they can play. And where if they start fighting them, we'll get up and we'll do some morning chores or something. And then we have breakfast, and then they play a little bit more since they're up so early. Then we walk my 1st grader to school, come home, play, take the preschoolers to school. And then after I've picked up all the kids from school, then we have some time to play. We have a snack after school, then some more time to play, then dinner, a little bit more time to play, and then it's bedtime. So in the morning, it's things like when it's just them playing, hopefully mostly on their own, then it's books, it's art supplies. We always have paper and crayons and actually markers even. My kids are really good about only writing on paper. But if you had a kid who drew on things other than paper, you could always go with, I don't know, in the UK, can you get the Color Wonder? In the US, you can buy Color Wonder.
Yes, you can, yes.
And yeah. Those are great for kids who will write on other things. Or also the Aqua Doodle. You know, you can buy the thing where it's a special surface and you draw with water on that. So they do a lot of art in the morning. They look at books. We have blocks. And, you know, toy cars, things like that. And then when I just have the preschoolers at home in the morning, they do a lot of kind of imaginary play together. And so they'll be dressing up more and kind of running about playing with their stuffed animals or, you know, baby dolls or, again, with the cars. And then after school, we often do, that's if we're going to do something where I need to supervise it, that's when we do it, because they want some time with me because they've been away. and we choose something that's quite mellow. So I like to do sensory activities. So that could be Play-Doh is a great sensory activity. We do playing with corn flour on a tray, which sounds messy, but if you stick with a tablespoon or so, it's not so bad. And we do colored rice on a tray. If it's nice, we'll play, you know, they'll play with water outside. And then in the evening, and then they'll transition, once we, if we do something like that, they'll slowly transition back into the more imaginative play. And if it's nice outside, I always try to get them outside because, first of all, they aren't making a mess in the house. Secondly, it's really good for them, and they don't fight, I find, outside, where inside they're much more likely to argue. And it's also just great for all of us to be outside. And we have a nice yard, so take advantage of it. And then after dinner, if it's if it's nice out, we actually eat dinner outside even. And then they will draw with sidewalk chalk outside, or they'll play with, you know, they have collections of sticks and collections of rocks that they take very good care of and are very attached to. And so they'll, and if we're inside, then we might do, if my husband's home, he'll play, that's when he plays chess with them, or usually it's an adapted version of chess because they're so young, or they'll play some game with him often. And then we read books with them and they go to bed. So that's how it works, when it really works. And we have days when it doesn't happen that way, but...
It was time to plunge into some of the deeper stuff, the problems that we have at home. So I was talking to Mary Ann and I wanted to know, what do you do when routines have to change? How do you cope with them? What's it like? Especially when you've got children that are in and out of the house.
Well, if my husband's home, he does really great with, you know, doing things that are super hands-on parent activities. So that happens a lot more when he's home. And I do those too, but I can't do that all day because I'm home all day. So they see him as like they know he will do something hands-on with them because he doesn't see them that much. And with me, they know sometimes I will and sometimes I won't. One of the bigger changes actually, so having the baby has been a switch, but I would say even more it's been the kids getting older, because one of the biggest switches I've seen, like over the years of me blogging even, is that when I started blogging I had a a 2-year-old and a baby. This was 4 years ago, and I got pregnant right after, with my third child, right after I started blogging. And when I look back on what we did back then one big difference is they would watch television more. And it wasn't a lot, but that was a stage where, you know, I have a 2-year-old and I have a baby. And if the baby's napping, if I let the 2-year-old watch a show, then I can take a shower. Where otherwise, it's really challenging. Oh, the baby wasn't really watching, but the 2-year-old did. And now, my younger kids haven't watched television nearly as much because now there's an older child who plays with them. So, you know, if I want to take a shower now, I lock the baby in my room because I don't trust my kids. But they play, the baby's locked in my room, and I can get a shower. And they don't need that. You know, they are enough entertainment for each other at this point. And when I just had the two really little ones, that did not work. So
yes.
I find that it's, even with a newborn now with four kids, in some ways it's easier than it was in terms of them being entertained than it was when I just had two really small kids.
What frustrations or struggles do you have with routines?
Daylight savings time. Anything that changes stuff, you know, if we travel or if someone comes to visit us. Like we had family staying with us when we had this right before my youngest baby was born, and for about a week after she was born. And that was fantastic because we had family staying, but they were staying in the room, in the playroom. So my kids got used to playing out in the middle of the house. And I'm still working on transitioning them back to the playroom so that the rest of the house isn't trashed every day.
But yes.
I just find that any change, you know, you work so hard to get something to work. And then it doesn't take very much for something to happen where you feel like you're back at square one. And I'm sure it's easier because, you know, at least the kids know that this expectation existed. So you aren't starting from scratch, but it's hard. You know, things work at different times. So when my kids were a little bit younger, then all I needed to do to keep all of them entertained was bring out the Play-Doh. And now my six-year-old, if it's Play-Doh, she wants to be very artistic with it. And it changes the way the younger kids play, too. And then if it's just the two of them at home, then they revert more to standard preschooler play, you know, where it's just kind of a sensory activity with less direction. So I kind of like having the younger two home without her sometimes, so that they do that more relaxed play. And then when they're with her, then it's great for them to do the more structured play as well.
I can relate to that. Having a nine-year-old, he pulls everybody along to what he wants to do sometimes.
Yes.
Yeah, it's nice to be able to let them.
Yeah, it's great that the oldest child is pulling them along, but it's also great for them to get a chance to, you know, do things their way. Say, with the baby, we go through cycles of, you know, they love the baby, she's adorable, she's fantastic, and they're so gentle, and then they transfer into, we've gone through this cycle a couple times now, they transfer into, the baby is my toy, what can I do with her? Like, poking her and things. And then they move into, why is the baby here? We want mom to play with us, put the baby away. And then we start over again, you know, she's adorable, she's wonderful, we love her, we're so nice to her. So, Even with that, it's a cycle. I don't know when it's going to move into just normal, but we're still transitioning in. I think my own mother is a big inspiration. I mean, she raised 10 children, and we never had a television, so she was very good at keeping us occupied. I get a lot of my approach to parenting comes from her, you know, focusing on getting kids absorbed in creative play and letting them do hands-on things and be, you know, giving them the freedom to be creative. That all comes from her. One of my kids especially really needs more structure than I was probably raised with. And so for that, I've looked at, actually all of my kids qualified at some point for what's called early intervention in Massachusetts. And they bring in specialists who come in and work with your kids. And with my kids, it's primarily been for speech problems. I suppose having those experts in my house has been an amazing resource because these people really know what they're doing. And I can ask them questions and I watch what they do with my kids because they just come and play with your child. But they've influenced me a lot too in how I've approached, especially in making sure that my kids always know to the extent that it's possible that they know what to expect from the day and you know how things are going to happen. As far as planning activities go, I'm, in my family at least, it doesn't work very well to have an activity and say, this is what we're going to do today, and this is how it's going to work. So my approach has been, and actually this is, one of the things I did before I was had became a mom as I taught high school. And what I realized when I taught high school is that you'll have more fun as a teacher if you plan a bunch of activities, like more activities than you can actually fit into the day, and keep them as your kind of inspiration board. And then you can put, you know, start an activity, watch how the students are interacting with it. And I taught French and Spanish, which it's probably a lot closer. The things you do in those classes is probably a lot closer to what you do as a parent of young children than you would do in, say, in, you know, math class. So I learned that if I had a whole bunch of activities planned for the day, then I could kind of take one, start with it, and if it was a failure, I still had something else to just move on to. And because I had something else, it wasn't a disaster. And also, if I had a whole bunch of activities, then I didn't have to worry about running out of time. So that's what I do with my kids, too. So I kind of have a bunch of different things that I always like to have on hand for them. So we have blocks. I'm a big fan of, you know, the toys that you can use over and over and over. You know, blocks, Lego Duplo bricks, little cars. I like the little plastic you know, animals and people. Things like that that can be used in so many different ways. So those are we have the toys, and then we have Play-Doh, we have paint, and we have markers. And so instead of looking at it as this is what we're going to do this week, what I do is I have my collection of resources. And then on any given day, depending how I feel and depending how the kids feel, that's how we decide what to pull out. So I'm not scheduling my week, and I'm not planning anything in particular to do. I find we cycle through everything anyway, and this way, for me, it's much more relaxed. And I also avoid activities that require a whole lot of planning on my part, because then I get frustrated when they don't happen the way they're supposed to, and that's not actually benefiting anyone. I think with young children, it's more important for them to have a positive experience than what the experience is, almost. The only extent to which I structure it is if my kids are acting up, I will say, why don't you go play with, and I'll give them up to 3 options, and then if they won't take those options, then we start doing chores. So that's my structure. So they could either choose up to 3. I mean, I'll start with just 1. I'll say, do you want to go play with cars? And sometimes they're like, oh yeah, let's go play with cars. And they go off and play with cars. And sometimes I'll give them up to 3 activities. And if they're still just saying like, we're bored, then I say, okay, we're going to mop the floor instead. Which they actually quite enjoy. I don't find it as helpful in some ways. But but it's a good way to get them out of that I'm bored phase. And they also learned that, you know, as they get older, they learn that if I'm keeping myself occupied in a positive way, mom leaves me alone, or is more likely to.
Yes.
Whereas otherwise, she's going to start finding jobs for me to do. So, you know, I want to capture the beauty of parenting. And so I'm not going to spend a lot of time on the really hard days. I do write about it occasionally because I really don't want to be seen as my life is perfect, because it's not. But... yeah, I mean, I'm blogging to capture the things that are really positive in my life. And I think that's what most bloggers do. And so it's not, this is my life and this is all, you know, nothing is ever bad.
Yes.
Let's focus on the positives, because that's how we get through the tough times. My first 3 are, you know, 3.5 years apart. So I've done the, you know, 20 months between the kids. And that's hard.
I'm Carolyn Elbert. I live in New Jersey, a suburb of New York City, about 45 minutes outside of the city. I am currently a stay-at-home mom with 2 boys. One is 4.5, and the other he just turned 14 months. I am currently a stay-at-home mom. After my second son was born, I decided to try staying home. That's also around the time I decided to start blogging, and I now blog at a website called The Pleasantest Thing. On my blog, I try to share simple activities and ways to connect with your kids. I'm finding as I get more into it that the things I like doing best are really the things that I've always done with my kids, which are activities relating to books and a lot of reading activities, a lot of nature play and being outdoors, and just a lot of kind of just fun, simple childhood things.
Carolyn is in a place where lots of us are, with more than one child at home, trying to find a routine that works for us. I really like looking on her site, The Pleasantest Thing, because one of her guideposts that she and her husband has is play is the foundation upon which all other learning is built. So next I ask the question, what about routines in your home?
I love routines. I think it's easier for kids if they know what to expect. And in times when there's something going on that's challenging or different, I think that routines often provide a lot of comfort. in particular, I think that it's really helpful to us to have routines around getting ready in the morning and around bedtime, which I find, even despite the routine, to be a particularly challenging time of day. But with the structure and knowing what to expect, I think that it helps my kids get through those times of the day more easily.
Have you ever had a time when you haven't had a routine?
When I was going back to work after my first son was born, I realized that we didn't really have too much of a routine in the morning. And I knew that the transition to me going back to work was going to be hard on both of us. And so to help him out, and obviously myself as well, I wanted to make sure that we were able to get... I'm sorry, I'm pausing because can you hear my son screaming in the background?
Yeah, but that's okay.
We didn't have much of a routine after my first son was born. And when I was going back to work, I realized that to help both of us out, I wanted to have structure, especially around the transition time in the morning. So I just thought of everything that needed to get done. And I tried to do those things in roughly the same order and in roughly the same time each day, so that it was hard for him when I had to leave to go to work each day. But I think that knowing what to expect helped him get through that.
There you go, a prime example of parents multitasking at best. Here we are, Carolyn and I are having our interview talking about routines, and here is her son calling for her attention. And little did we know that he was two floors between her and him, and yet she could still hear him. That's exactly the same thing that happens to all of us, surely, when we're on the telephone. As soon as we're on the telephone, we become a magnet. All the children want us, want things to do with us. So I thought that was really fun. Just shows how we're all so similar. Wherever we are, things happen just in the same way in my house, and I'm sure in your house too. Carolyn goes on to explain a little bit more about her routines in more detail.
In the morning, when my younger son naps, my older son and I always try to work on some kind of building activity. So whether it's with Legos or with blocks, or we do Duplos, or sometimes depending on the strength of the monitor, if we can go outside, we'll do it with sticks. But he loves to build. So we usually use that time so that we can sit down together and really build. We also, I try to bring both boys outside every day, regardless of the weather. Obviously, if it's nice weather, we stay out longer. If it's not as nice, we're inside a little bit more. But, you know, through heat or snow or whatever, we make it a priority to get outside. Sometimes we go to more formal programs. We have an outdoor education center near us, and we go to more formal programs there. Sometimes it's just us outside playing in the park or in our yard. But we definitely try to get outside every day. And every afternoon, as long as it's not raining, my boys first go in and they each pick out 2 to 3 books, and we bring them to the front step, and we just sit down together, and we read together on the front step, and then we go in and get dinner and transition into sort of the nighttime thing. But we really do enjoy the reading on the front step routine. And actually, the front step plays kind of a big role in our routine. Is for dessert in the summer, a lot of times I'll freeze watermelon and blend it up, and we'll go eat that on the front step, or sometimes, frozen juice pops or something like that.
How have your routines changed? Have they changed at all with new children that come along, or seasons, or I don't know, times of the year?
Had to change a lot. So when I was pregnant with my second son, I was on bed rest for 7 months. A lot of our routines had to change then, because I just wasn't physically permitted to do a lot of the things that we had done. I guess actually what happened was more we tried to keep some of the routines the same, but it would be somebody else doing it with my son as opposed to me. We added new things that he would come in and do with me that were more quiet activities than active things. Also, I've had a lot of different work arrangements. So I was home with my son on maternity leave, and then I went back to work part-time. And then I was home again with him for a few months before going back to work full time. And now I'm home. I'm just home full time again. So with all of those changes, that impacts my children's schedule, and so our routines have to change based on that.
I think Carolyn's last comments really bring up a good point about how we have to find the right thing that works for us, and maybe that takes a lot of different times for us to be able to do that. We have to try different things out to see. Carolyn also went to work, and I was curious to how she conducted her routines while she was at work.
When I was working, I was very conscious of having a routine for my son to have during the day, because I wanted to know what was going on with him. We were lucky enough to have a full-time nanny, and she was great about incorporating the things that I wanted to do, but while still maintaining the flexibility to make my son's days flow smoothly. So I knew that they would go outside right after I left for work, and they'd play out there with building with sticks or playing with his construction vehicles or something like that. Then they'd go inside, they'd have a snack, and then they'd often go to the library or to a park. They'd usually go somewhere and come home and have lunch. So I knew in broad outlines what the routine was in his day. I really liked that he had that rhythm and routine, and that I knew what he was doing throughout the day. Being home, it's a little easier for me to sort of relax that. But I'm really trying to make an effort, especially with having two, and trying to make sure that I get to have focused time with both kids. I'm really trying to create structures like that to our day. So sometimes my son doesn't want to go along with what the routine is. And even though I really set the routines up to provide structure to my kids' days, I guess I've gotten used to it too. So if he just really doesn't want to go to the library when we typically go to the library, then it sort of throws me off, and it's a little bit harder for me to just roll with it. You know, I've work on adapting as I need to.
Where do you look for inspiration on your routines? Because sometimes changing a routine or adapting a routine can be hard. I think we all recognize when things aren't going as well as we want them to. Where do you look for inspiration to change the way you're doing things?
The very first thing I do is talk to my mother. It's not going to help everybody because there are only so many people she can talk to. But honestly, what I would do is Google it. I look at Baby Center a lot. I find that they have some helpful articles and forums. And then I look to some of my favorite blogs and see if they have posts or articles about struggles. Really, the person that I go to for change, anything that I think is throwing things off with my kids is first my mother. She's a teacher, so she's seen a lot, and I find her to be a very helpful resource.
First of all, I want to say thanks so much to Carolyn and Marianne, who took time out of their day to come and talk to us about routines. These are two special ladies who take time to think about where they're going and what's happening. They're just like you and I, looking for a way to make headway with their kids at home. I'm really curious to how you do routines. What routines do you have? Have you been inspired to try some new ideas or do some new things here with Marianne and Carolyn? What routines do you have around play? Things that you do all the time? I would love to hear. You can post your ideas on Facebook. You can come to the site. Lots of different places. I would really love to hear from you for doing that. This week also, we are still going through the 31 days of sensory play. I would really encourage you to come over, have a look at some of the activities that are there, add them to your routine. One item that I wanted to talk to you about was invitations to play. This is something that's really simple and effective way of making sure that we are connecting with our kids and that the kids are doing something creative every single day. I'll leave a link for that particular post in the show notes. I'll be right back after this short break.
This is Laura Sedoni from Filter Tots Limited, and you are listening to Raising Playful Tots.
I was really excited to go to Blog Camp this week because I was able to meet up with some new people and meet some friends that I've known for a while. I was excited to meet up Jen, and you know Jen because she's been on the show before, and she's from muminthemadhouse.com. It was always nice to see her, give her a hug and chat about lots of different things to do with play. Always fun to speak to Jen. Ruth was there as well from parentalgeekery.com. She also has a podcast all about geeky stuff and parenting stuff. So I really would encourage you to go over there and listen to her show as well. It was great to see her and her husband both there together. I also met Eleanor, and she has a fantastic blog that you all should go over and have a look at, and it's called twooofeverythingblog.co.uk. And you can guess it, yes, she's a twin mum, so she has two of everything. And in fact, today she has a fantastic post about how to prepare pumpkin seeds for sensory play. So if you're into pumpkin seeds, because you probably have a lot if you are carving pumpkins, and actually how you can prepare them for sensory play, then I would really encourage you to go over to her site and have a look at that. It's always good connecting with new people, finding out new play ideas and play friends, and connecting with people like that. I hope that you get to have a chance to go out and meet people. Also saw Helpful Mum. She was there. You can find her on Twitter. And another friend was Trouble Doubled, which is another twin mum. All playing and having fun. That's about it for this episode. Thank you so much for listening to Raising Playful Tots. I'd be so grateful if you would rate my podcast on iTunes. That helps tremendously with keeping my podcast visible. For people who have never heard of it, they can discover it too. If you'd like to comment on this show, then go over to the show notes at raisingplayfultots.com/115 and scroll down to the comments section. Comments or questions are always welcome. I'd love to hear from you. If you'd like to leave a voicemail, you can go to raisingplayfultots.com/feedback. Voicemail messages are free, and from the site, you just click the button and you can record. You can also leave your comment or your questions about the last three blogs that you've read featuring play. I'd love to hear from you and be able to put those on the show. I saw some really good ideas. I asked this question on Facebook this week, and I had some really interesting answers. I wanted to share them with you. Kun Pham, I hope I'm pronouncing your name right, she left a message that she had just read notjustcute.com because I love you. And if you remember, Not Just Cute is the blog by Amanda Morgan, who came on and she did a whole show about how we share. If you've missed that episode, you need to go back and have a look at that one too. So that was Because I Love You was the last blog post that she read. And Jennifer B read an article from special-ism.com called 7 Sensory Motor Benefits of Aquatic Therapy. And it reminded her to incorporate curly straws, ping pong balls, and diving toys in today's pool play. So that's really cool. So if you have something to share, your last three parenting or play type posts that you have read, love to hear from you. Come over to the feedback and tell us so that we can all go over and have a look at that too. You've been listening to Raising Playful Tots, show number 115. Come over and play next week. Until then, find time for some unplugged play. Join with me each week as we share, learn, and laugh together about making the most of early childhood playtime. Goodbye.